STS is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
SDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right-side patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Oh my God, it's already July. July 2nd, everybody. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. And what a day it's been.
Well, it's a Friday, you know, and this is a special Friday because here starts the Independence Day weekend.
Yes. And here starts our digging more into what happened a little more than a week ago here in Florida.
That's hardly true, Diane. You've been digging into that for a week.
Yes.
You've been going at it with a front-end loader, a back-end loader, a couple of shovels, a hoe, and a rake.
Yeah, and I've got to try to all condense it into about 2,000 words.
See, I knew that was going to be the case. And yeah. Diane asked me, this is behind the scenes, folks. Diane asked me a few days ago, about, I don't know, 4 days ago, 5 days ago. She says, do you want to do this as a joint article? I'm like, no. This is why.
Yeah, but, I've got to get a lot of information, not supposition, not conspiracy theories, but factual information about what I believe, backed up with facts, what caused that building to collapse. And the more days that goes by and the more sources I'm able to get into, certain things which appeared on the surface don't appear on the surface anymore.
Well, it's been very interesting. And I will tell you this, folks. While I'm not taking part in writing the article for a lot of reasons, and one of the primary reasons, quite honestly, is because this is really Diane's neck of the woods, geographically.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, this is, and she, because geographically she's right there, she's getting more fresh reports than you can get just about anywhere else. So that's a primary reason. However, what I have contributed to this, in a weird way, I've been a sounding board on this.
Yes.
You know, and I'll tell you, it is both a tragedy and fascinating all at the same time.
Right, and some news that I sounded off, Craig, today, about certain things the media is saying that are 100% wrong, blew them away, because it puts a whole new perspective on what brought that building down. In fact, my husband and I might drive down into Miami Beach tomorrow, not only to visit someone in the hospital, but to see if we can get close enough where I can get some pictures.
You know, that
first-hand pictures.
My suggestion, go to the beach side of the thing. I don't know if they got the beach sealed off.
You can't get onto the beach access of the South Tower. And that's one of the things, folks. There are two separate towers.
Well, then just don't.
Attached to the South Tower that the media is kind of leading you to believe is the north part. It isn't.
My suggestion then, if you can't get beach access to see it from that angle, just take the Diane Sori helicopter and do a flyover.
You know? No, we think we're going to come up the islands in the back and come over that way. I remember this whole area is cordoned off.
Right.
And especially the saddest discovery that was made today, one of the first responders, one of the firemen, digging through the rubble, found his own daughter.
God, and I just can't even
just
imagine.
Heartbreaking.
You know, you hear about that kind of thing from time to time. A cop shows up in an accident, and it's a relative. You know?
Yeah.
And it's you almost can't comprehend something like that. I mean, it's just god-awful.
It is god-awful.
You know? Well, folks, look, we got a short show tonight because it is Independence Day weekend. We're going to shut things down a little early, only doing an hour tonight. We've got some quick hitters coming up for you here in just a minute, but before we get to those, let me tell you what's coming up after the quick hitters. Diana's talking about big tech, COVID-19, and truths kept hidden.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a piece that she put together about a week ago, and ever since then, I mean, I think, if I remember right, I think you finished this about the day the tower collapsed down in Surfside, and you've been on this tower thing.
Because remember, I thought of just ditching it completely, but not enough had come in to pull together for tonight.
Right. Well,
exactly what happened. So I figured, okay, I'll run with this thing.
You know, again, that's part of me being the sounding board, folks, because she was going to ditch the piece, the op-ed that she's covering tonight, and do tower instead. And I said, no, wait for it, because we're going to get more information. There's going to be more stuff, you know, and it's probably a good thing that you held off. And I mean, let's be perfectly honest here. You could hold off for another 6 months because there's going to be stuff coming out. But, you know, there's certain things about this tower collapse that need to be brought out now, so that things down the road make more sense to people.
And that's what I'm going to be bringing out on Tuesday. And people might not agree with me with some of it. Other parts of it, they might agree 100% completely. But there's more to this collapse than meets the eye. There is culpability in here.
And I'm
going to bring that out.
There's going to be a decade's worth of litigation when this thing is all...
Absolutely. You know, it's already started. Lawsuits have already started to be filed.
Well, let's take a look at quick hitters tonight, because we've got some interesting things and a fun one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We saved the fun for the final quick hitter tonight. We'll start with Joy Reid over at PMSNBC, who said on the air that the border crisis is, and I'm quoting, non-existent.
Well, remember, this is the same Joy Reid who actually scolded South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem for sending the National Guard to Texas to aid in what she considered a non-existent crisis. Remember, this is the same crisis that Kamala Harris was afraid to really go down and see.
Yeah.
Remember, she stayed 5.6 miles away, Craig. So technically, her record of not going to the border stands.
Well, yeah, it does. I covered that on mm-hmm. Tuesday because it was just so bizarre, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and you know, look, here's the thing: the border crisis exists. It's horrible. Okay. I mean, it's right. Gone up. Now, I can understand the liberals don't see it as a crisis because, you know, these are future votes that are pouring across the border like a tsunami. So, you know, to them, it's not a crisis. But to the American economy, to the rule of law, certainly to the ranchers and the citizens who live in border states, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. This is a crisis. When you look at the amount of drugs, the amount of activity the drug cartels are taking, drug cartels are setting up shop on our side of the damn border. Okay, you got human smuggling, you got all this stuff. It's a crisis. It qualifies as a crisis. I don't give a damn what Joy Reid says.
Well, it also, you know, is a crisis because Texas Governor Abbott is actually diverting Texas funds to building sections of the wall himself via, you know, Texas, of course. That, in other words, the state of Texas is going to build a border wall that the federal government should be building.
Now, the proper way to look at that is an investment. And that
is
going to pay dividends.
It's investment in Texan safety and
U.S.
keeping
America
safety. Free from illegals.
Yeah, it's an investment in U.S. national security.
Yes.
You know, so thank God Texas is doing that. Thank God Greg Abbott is doing that. Let me just say something about Joy Reid chastising Governor Kristi Noem up here in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know how Joy Reid is paying to send National Guard troops down
how
there?
Joy Reid is paying?
No, I'm sorry. Kristi Noem. How Kristi Noem is paying to send those down there.
Tell me.
This is fascinating. She's sitting around in her office the other day, and she's trying to figure out how in the world are we going to pay for this, right?
Oh, and right. Yeah. Yeah.
Her phone rings, and it is a billionaire Republican donor by the last name of Johnson. Calls up and says, well, I'll give you some money.
Right.
Now the right. Left is all bent out of shape over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And then Joy Reid is complaining, saying a super wealthy political donor is paying for American soldiers to deploy on a military mission with political undertones. No, you idiot is all I can call her. There's no political undertones. This is called national security interest, protecting the health, safety, and welfare of we the people.
At best, Joy Reid is an asshat.
At best.
At best. All right.
At best.
She has no idea what she's talking about. I mean, no. Look, Governor DeSantis is sending law enforcement there.
Yes.
Kristi Noem is sending law enforcement there. Our governor, Pete Ricketts, is sending law enforcement there. I think it's either Idaho or Montana, somebody else, is sending law enforcement down there. I mean, come on. You know? This is what it takes.
Well, the other states need to do it because, remember, when these illegals come here and then they're allowed to go elsewhere, they're being shipped into Republican states to try to change the demographics of the Republican states from red to blue. So
right.
It's in our best interest as well to help with this.
Well, and but she singles out, she puts a spotlight on Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem. And I'll tell you,
she's saying they're running for president in 2024, and this is their initiation to the American people.
They're terrified of Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem. The left is terrified of DeSantis and Noem right now.
Absolutely. Especially, President Trump said on the town hall the other night with Sean Hannity and Greg Abbott that he has already made up his mind about will he run or won't he run in 2024. He didn't say what that was, but he did say he will announce it right after the 2022 midterms.
Right.
My feeling personally is if all goes well in the 2022 midterms, I think he is going to ask for all his supporters to support a DeSantis known ticket.
That's kind of where I'm leaning to. I really believe that might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it too, because Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem are diehard Trump supporters. They support his policies, his initiatives, everything he's done. And hell, you get Florida in your pocket, there's a good chance that Ron DeSantis would be the next president with Kristi Noem as the vice president.
And she'll be a better vice president than Dick Cheney was, because Kristi Noem, when she goes hunting, she doesn't shoot people in the face.
That's true.
she's a good shot.
That's true.
Hunter Biden's laptop is telling us more. You know, you go back a year, maybe a little over a year ago, and this whole laptop nonsense of Hunter Biden's came to light. The fact that he abandoned his laptop at a repair shop, and we got our first glimpse of some photos that were on the laptop almost a year ago. And one of those, this is after Joe Biden says, nope, I never talked to Hunter about his business, business deals, never met with his business people, nothing. Remember a photo that came out showed Joe and Hunter and a couple of oligarchs on a golf course?
Sure.
Okay, well, more of these photos are now coming out, and now we know that Joe Biden, when he was the vice president, actually hosted some of Hunter's Mexican business partners in the vice president's residence.
There are pictures of it.
Oh,
Joe Biden, you know, he's been in office, political office, for 47 years. He's also been lying for 47 years.
You can tell when he's lying, his lips are moving.
Right. And this, what Craig is talking about, is an energy deal with Mexico and elsewhere in Latin America.
Well, not only have we found out that he hosted Mexican business partners of Hunter Biden's at the vice presidential residence, he also flew some of Hunter Biden's business partner somewhere on Air Force Two.
Joe Biden is as dirty as his son. You can't put it any other way. He knew everything that was going on. He is the big guy, quote unquote, that's talked about all over the computer. I don't know why this is not coming back to haunt him, except, you know, the Democrats are protecting him. They're circling the wagon.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. I mean, Joe Biden is so deep in the damn swamp, he needs a 12-foot snorkel just to get a breath of air.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep getting more and more and more of this kind of information out of Hunter Biden's laptop over the next several weeks, next several months, even maybe the next year or two. But this stuff is all in there, and it's all coming out.
Yeah, and more will be coming out.
It will.
Probably daily at this point.
I mean, it's just, it's not shocking. We expected this.
Right.
I mean, that's all I can tell you. Now, from Joe Biden and his misadventures to President Trump. You might know, you might have heard, folks, that the Manhattan District Attorney has been trying to find something in Trump's business to indict Trump on. Well, he couldn't find anything that was wrong that linked to Donald Trump. So there will be no indictment of Donald Trump. However, they did find something to indict, and it's ridiculous. Okay? The only indictment to come out of this has something to do with the tax treatment of fringe benefits for employees. Now, that's like, you know, a fringe benefit is you get a membership to a club, or you get a you know, dinner parties. You know, you can have a dinner party a month or something at a fancy restaurant in New York. You know, it's a fringe benefit. And apparently, the DA in Manhattan thinks there may be something wrong with the way they filed taxes on some, but not all, of the fringe benefits.
Well, not only that, President Trump's longtime chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, he actually pleaded not guilty yesterday.
Yeah.
In, you know, being involved in all this. So we already have somebody that's been indicted pleading not guilty.
Well,
and this is a joke. This is a joke. Over fringe benefits?
I know. I mean, really? You know, I understand, you know, fringe benefits in a company like that could amount to a lot of money. But it's the treatment of taxation of fringe benefits. That's the only thing they could find to indict on. And this guy that was indicted and pled not guilty, he turned himself in.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's. I don't think this guy's got anything to hide. I really don't.
No, well, you know, what they tried to do, but what Trump's company was not charged with, is serious charges of inflating its assets to get bank loans.
Well, no, and stop right there, because wasn't that one of the big things that the liberal media was all over Trump about for 4 years? He's inflating his assets. He's not worth that kind of money. Well, apparently, none of that happened. What else?
And also, he was not charged with minimizing the assets to dodge taxes, which was another big thing for the, you know, liberals. That can actually devastate a building. Yeah. And the company was not charged with funneling hush money. That's a big thing. And that has to do with Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels saying basically they tried to buy her silence after having an alleged affair with President Trump. And
Never happened. Those
matters made the headlines. And none of them, the grand jury's not bringing up any charges on any of them. But fringe benefits? I mean, this is ridiculous. It's laughable.
I know. It's like, here's tickets to the Knicks game.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, here's courtside tickets to the Knicks. I mean, first of all, I don't know if going to see the New York Knicks is actually a fringe benefit. That's more like a punishment. You know, and the only thing worse is if they gave you tickets on the 50-yard line to see the Jets.
I mean, this is ridiculous. They're continuing their witch hunt. They don't have anything, so they're making stuff up. They're making a mountain out of what is really a molehill.
Well, and let's before we move on to the final quick hitter, let's just face a sad fact for liberals. They have spent, the DA in Manhattan has spent 3+ years trying to find something to indict Trump on. Couldn't find a damn thing.
Of our taxpayer dollars, folks, you got to remember that. We are paying for this witch hunt.
Well, but you know what? You know, after all this time, after all that digging, after all those investigations, after having countless people pore over countless documents and countless things that cost countless amounts of money for 3 years, apparently it's something like tickets to the next game.
I mean, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. A waste of time and money. And yet Hillary, who bleach-bitted her, you know, entire email stuff. Nothing happens to her.
Move along. Nothing to see there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, a subject close to Diane and my heart.
Mm-hmm.
SpaceX. SpaceX, Elon Musk, they're going to have an all-civilian crew that's going to be going for a space flight in the Dragon space capsule. And they have outfitted the dragon with something brand new. You know how, folks, you know, when you see the videos and things, how the nose cone on the dragon pops up so that it can dock with the space station?
Sure.
Well, this one won't be docking with the space station, but that nose cone's still going to come up. And underneath that nose cone is going to be a window to the universe.
Yes. In other words, the astronauts, you know, they're usually closed in with little windows on the side. Not with this ship. They're going to have a full panoramic view because they're going to be surrounded with a glass dome.
It's funny that you say not on this ship.
Yeah.
Now that is with a P, right? It's not with a ship. T at the end of it.
No, ship.
Okay, because they're going to be able to view the universe.
I leave the potty humor for you.
They're going to be able to view the universe when they're on the space throne.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I leave potty humor for Craig.
And this really is potty humor.
Right. It's actually called is a glass cupola. Yeah.
Well, okay. You know, I guess my cupola doesn't have a glass dome on it then.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not worried about privacy because who's going to look in on them?
E.T. What if E.T. sees that?
Or maybe your people.
My people. Listen, my people have been studying your people for eons. And we know how embarrassed your people are if they're spotted on the throne.
This is kind of humorous in a way.
It's humorous.
Yeah, to bring a little levity in what is really serious exploration. You know, when you go up in space with our technology, you're still putting your life in danger. So this kind of brings it down a level or two.
Well, now when you go in space, you can actually go in space.
Well, not quite. Now, this cupola is designed so that passengers and or astronauts, they get actual breathtaking views of the Earth. Now, it just so happens that there is a toilet nearby.
That's not the only thing.
The toilet is not in the glass cupola. It's nearby.
The view isn't the only thing that's going to take their breath away. You know, I mean, I don't know. Speaking for myself, if I could have that view while I'm on the throne, I don't think I'd ever get off the thing.
When you think about it in serious terms, that's as close as really you're going to get to actually feeling like you're part of space. Not that you're in a ship surrounded by metal and everything else, but you would actually get the feeling of being in space.
It's such
kind of priceless.
Well, it is because, you know, other astronauts, they can go out on a spacewalk and things, but the civilian astronauts, that's not for them. Okay? Right. You got to be so highly trained to do spacewalks and do that kind of thing. You know, when an astronaut is outside, let's say the ISS, doing a spacewalk, you know, that has got to be the ultimate feeling of space travel. You know, but for a civilian,
you're not encumbered by a spacesuit. You're just in your, you know, whatever you wear inside the capsule.
Yeah.
So you're really feeling like you're part of space.
Can you imagine? You're in that cupola, right? And you've got a 360 degree view. I mean, you don't get that in anything else. In fact, you can't really quite even get that on the space station. Now, they do have that one module on the space station that's got glass, but it's not like this.
No, it isn't. It isn't like this. You're actually walking into this dome, and it's quite different. I mean, I'd love to go up there and be in that.
Wouldn't that be? I mean, it would just be incredible.
I think it would be incredible to actually feel that you're part of space.
Hand it to Elon Musk for coming up with the idea. Let's put a glass dome on this thing. Well, it's not really glass. You know, it's going to be that real heavy bulletproof stuff. But let's put this on the nose cone so that when people go up there, they have a view that is just astounding.
You can, because remember, it's basically a view on all three sides.
The only thing you can't see is what's below you.
The view from is either where you're sitting or standing. So you really feel that you're out there in space.
Trust me, you don't really want a view of where you're sitting for that. But
no, like it said, the toilet is nearby. It's not in the cupola.
People below you may not be able to see the stars, but they'll see the moon.
Ha, 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 ha. There's the potty humor.
Well, I could have said they'll see Uranus, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I restrained myself. Folks, that wraps up this segment of the show. We got to take a quick break, get a station ID or two, and when we come back, the final segment of the show tonight, Diane's talking big tech, COVID-19, and truths kept hidden. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor getting you through the Friday night edition of the show. January 2nd, Independence Day weekend starts now. Now, if you miss any part of tonight's show, all you have to do tomorrow is go to rspradio1.com, click the podcast button, you're in. All of our shows are there. You'll love them. You can pick whatever you want. If you missed, like I said, if you missed part of tonight's show, listen to tonight's show. If you want to hear a show, there's descriptions there. Pick whatever you want. Be one of the pod people.
Yes, be green.
Be green. We love you for that. All right, Diane. So there's all this stuff that's been going on for well over a year, almost a year and a half now. I mean, let's be honest, with the big tech companies. Boy, if you say anything about COVID-19 or, you know, masks or anything like that, you know, they'll come along and bitch slap you for it. So you decided to take this all on and kind of try and put this in a way that people can understand just how maniacal the big tech companies have been on this.
Right. And let's start with this, and it's a quote. The original idea was that Facebook was a public square where you could come in and say anything you want. And that was said by Bhaskar Chakravarty. He is the Dean of Global Business at the Fletcher School at Tufts University. Control. For them, it has always been about control, especially control of the public discourse. For if they didn't have absolute control, truths could and would then be told. And if a single truth were to triumph over even one of their lies spewed, they then would lose not just control of the mindset of the masses, but control over the entirety of the specifics of political discourse as well. But with them having ultimate control, remember, they banned the true president of these United States from major internet platforms, know that they can not only ban you and me, but cancel us completely if they so desire. And by they, of course, I mean the social media giants who are part of big tech, as in the likes of Facebook, Instagram, Google, Twitter, YouTube, etc. But in regards to Facebook, the largest of said social media big tech companies, a company rightfully now known by many as Fascist Book, it remains Facebook who garners the most control over the mindset of both the public and political conversational discourse, especially conversation pertaining to the health, safety, and welfare of we, the American people. And to that end, Facebook, who I will concentrate on here tonight, not too long ago expanded its list of what would and would not be allowed on its platform, a list of what they're anything but independent fact checkers consider to be false, fake, or misleading information regarding COVID-19, along with their threatening to ban any users, groups, or pages that repeatedly spread such misinformation. Misinformation that in reality is now proving to be truths, with one truth being that the COVID virus was either manufactured or re-engineered to be used as a bioweapon of sorts. But when Facebook decides that merely banning you from its platform isn't enough to silence your voice or the truth you are trying so hard to tell, and when you, of course, are given no recourse for rebuttal, Facebook then places you in a timeout whose duration is of their own choosing. And it's a timeout in what we former residents like to call the infamous no visitors allowed Facebook jail, where even your messenger privileges are suspended as well. And Craig, then if you still try to get out what you know is the truth, Facebook goes even one step further, as in to permanently cancel your account by claiming that you have continuously violated their community standards and rules. Community standards and rules, which more times than not, they haven't even made up yet.
Well, Diane, you were Facebook jail inmate of the month for like two solid years.
I know. I've been in their infamous Facebook jail about 48 times.
Well, and the bulk of that, let's be honest here, was stuff that you posted 7 or 8 years ago.
Right. They were pulling stuff back when I first got on Facebook.
So
ridiculous things.
So let me ask you this. What is it? I mean, nobody's really sure what their quote-unquote community standards are. So what really are people like you being banned and jailed and put on under house arrest? And you know, what is it that's actually causing it?
Well, the real truth actually comes into being reality, for what you violated turns out to be just some of their fact checkers anything but truths, or quite possibly a liberal's ever so delicate kumbaya feelings, along with their misplaced anti-American musings spewed. But when Facebook knows that you have indeed played by what remains their First Amendment, free speech violating community standards and rules, Facebook instead goes the route of limiting your post reach, as in allowing only a limited number of folks of their choosing, to see, read, and share what you have tried so hard to get posted and read. And currently, I myself am once again a victim of just that, for I have dared to not only tell the truth about the origins of COVID-19, but to discuss those truths in detail. Numerous truths I have been shouting since day one of this politically motivated and hence politically manipulated China virus discourse. And if you cannot find the truths of which I speak on Facebook, Google, Twitter, etc., what with their cracking down on what they alone determined to be misinformation about both the virus itself and the now being forced upon us vaccines, you can find those truths, fact-based truths, not conspiracy theories, in the COVID-19 section of my personal blog, The Patriot Factor. But while I am just one wee small player being denied my basic First Amendment right to free speech, when you add my name to the millions of others also being denied by Facebook and other social media giants their right to free speech, and here I can safely say that probably 99.9% of us who are being silenced are on the right side of the political aisle, you now actually have a lobbying force, if you will, powerful enough to not just call social media big tech giants to task, but to help initiate across-the-board change. But sadly, Craig, like with the Republican cowards in Congress who know well not only the truth about the lies the Democrats, big tech, and their media cohorts spew, they and some of us still shamelessly continue to let them all slide on key and ever so critical issues.
Well, so all of this creates a conundrum of sorts, but What is it that needs to be done to alleviate this? And maybe you can then get into why what needs to be done isn't being done.
Well, first, you have to remember that knowing what's the right thing to do and actually doing what's right has now become two different entities entirely. And regarding doing what's right, here I'm speaking of not just reigning in social media big tech giants like Facebook, obviously with Facebook being the first on the list, but actually breaking up the monopoly these companies hold over both the public and the political discourse. Remember, whether they be publicly or privately held companies, nothing gives them the right to arbitrarily and also selectively censor voices on the internet highway, voices that do not concur with their political agenda, nor do they have the right to dictate as fact which information must or must not be gotten out to the masses. Simply, it's Facebook and their fellow platform ilk who still relish in leading the blind following masses down the path to acceptance of deliberately orchestrated and ever so maliciously spewed lies. After all, in their minds, it's better to control the masses via lies and information than to allow said masses to decide for themselves what is and what is not truth. Take away one's right to decide truth for oneself, and the battle for said truth is lost before it even begins. That is, except for those of us who can thankfully read between social medias, read mostly Facebook here, along with Twitter, constantly being forced upon us by Democrat-initiated lies. But again, all seems to originate with big tech, social media giants, censoring of open discussion, especially the overt censorship they currently practice regarding discussions about the dangers of catching the China virus itself. It's now proving to be Wuhan Lab's origin, and the rush to get folks to line up for what is truly an experimental vaccine. And this sees both major and minor social media sites not just being the engine by which the left controls the masses' mindset, but actually puts people's lives in danger. For while telling the truth might hurt some little snowflakes' feelings or even anger them a bit, repeatedly telling them lies just might cost them their very lives. And really, Craig, how pathetically sad is that? For there exists no good nor honorable reason to allow for the platforming on social media of what big tech knows is both misinformation and politically generated lies, all of which can, has, and will continue to see some of those in the uninformed and deliberately lied to masses becoming sick and or dying.
Well, obviously, this is not a surface annoyance. There is some deep danger in the way the big tech giants, Facebook isn't obviously the only one. I mean, Twitter, Instagram, you name them. You know, they've all been censoring any open discussion regarding COVID-19 and not only the dangers of the vaccine, but the dangers of those damn masks. But When you really start to boil this down, I mean, it's one thing to say there's inherent danger in stopping the open discussion about this, but can you go a little bit deeper into that and talk a little bit more about why it's so dangerous to do what they're doing?
Well, to put it in more direct and to the point terms, because of their not allowing for full and robust discussion to take place, for their deliberately withholding valuable need-to-know information, and for their passing around information they know well is politically driven and contrary to both medical and proven scientific facts, along with their outright misleading the public in regards to the safety of the jab, the big tech social media giants must share a certain amount of culpability and blame for those who, via truths kept hidden, have sadly been sickened by COVID-19, succumbed to COVID-19, as well as those now falling victim to an experimental vaccine that is neither FDA approved, nor has it been clinically tested long enough to be proven truly effective, especially against the newly morphed variants that now suddenly, but not totally unexpectedly, have been popping up all around the world. But if there's even one positive in all this, know that now it seems that even social media's big tech giants have taken a step back, albeit it's a very small step back, as they've been forced by current circumstances and truths finally being revealed to rein in their all out censoring of opposing COVID-19 voices. And it's not because they now have suddenly seen or accepted the truth regarding what is and will remain the China virus, its origin, and its true purpose, but because now with said truth actually being exposed, even by some on the left, social media's big tech giants hope that by doing so, that they will not become victims of what could become some of the biggest lawsuit payouts in history. After all, with COVID being big business, it was and will always remain for big tech social media giants all about their bottom line dollars and cents profits and not about their protecting we the people from harm. I cannot say or stress that enough. And that is one truth I and countless others can take to the proverbial bank.
You know, it's amazing when you get right down to it, the way they've treated, when I say they, I mean, you know, they, that you referred to early in the op-ed, the big tech giants, the way they've treated people that have discussed or tried to discuss, because you don't get very far, this whole COVID-19 situation. But it's not just people like you and me or, you know, a good number of our friends on Facebook that have gotten in trouble for it. We're also talking about people who are actual scientists, actual medical doctors, not doctors like Dr. Jill, you know, but I'm talking about actual medical doctors, you know, medical scientists, researchers in the medical field and things like that. When they've tried to put up stuff, they've been shut down.
Yeah, some of them who have even written papers have been forced to come out and say, well, maybe I got this wrong or something like that. I discussed that in a previous op-ed.
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. You know, people deserve the truth. But at the same time, people deserve to be able to share their opinions. Now, everybody's got an opinion. They're like some other body part that everybody has. But, you know, sometimes opinions are right, sometimes opinions are wrong. But opinions are opinions, and people should be allowed to share their opinions on social media. Because if you can't share your opinion on social media, it's not social media, it's anti-social media.
It's controlled media. They control what you can or cannot say. It's that simple. They control the public discourse. If you don't go along with what they consider the public discourse, they either limit your reach or throw you in Facebook jail. In my case, I didn't reach number 49 because they know I'm not violating their community standards, yet they don't like what I'm saying. So they limit my reach.
Right. And that's the other end of it. You know, I have not been in Facebook jail as many times as Diane.
No, I'm a felon.
But you're a habitual felon.
Yeah, and you know, Facebook damn proud felon. Of it.
Well, yeah. But you got one of these things. A lot of people have been getting these over the last couple of days. You got one of those things from Facebook either yesterday or today that says you may have been exposed to extremism.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I'm very glad if I am exposed to extremism, because usually in this case, extremism means I've been exposed to the truth.
I have not yet gotten that message. Okay. And I just want to say to all of my Facebook friends who might be listening tonight, step up your games, damn it. What's wrong with you? If you're not exposing me to extremism, you're not trying hard enough, and I take that personally.
Right.
I want to be exposed to extremism, too.
Yeah, and but they actually want us to report to them people that are exposing us to it. In other words, Nazi Germany of the 1930s.
Yeah, or the Soviet Union.
Or the Soviet Union, exactly.
Or China.
Cuba. You
know, Cuba. I mean,
Venezuela. I mean, it goes on and on and on. They want us to be snitches.
New Jersey? Well, maybe not New Jersey. I don't know.
It ain't going to happen. We're not going to be snitches.
No, we actually... You know, look, Diane and I both get messages. People don't like something we say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's fine, because sometimes it leads to an interesting conversation.
Correct.
All right? Some people are just idiots. But, you know, for the most part, you know, I will listen to somebody else's opinion. I may not agree with it, okay, but I will listen to it
and discuss
And discuss it. Now, if I can find this, I just popped open my Facebook here. So, folks, if you hear a ping or two or something, that's my Facebook. I've got people that you know, do this all the time. But let me. Let me see if I can find I got a message earlier today, and it was one of those. I didn't agree with it, but I did respond to it because it deserved to be responded to. Okay. At least I thought it did. But why can't I find it? Crazy. Man, I've gotten a lot of messages since this thing came through a couple hours ago. Holy moly. That's what happens when you shut down Facebook for the show. It's hard to find what you're looking at. No, that's not it. Here it is. Okay, let me pop this open. I put up a meme earlier this afternoon.
Oh, yes.
It says, to Janice Dickinson and all the other Me Too shrews, shut the hell up. If you didn't say anything for 20, 25, 30, or 35 years after you were supposedly assaulted, you should keep your pie hole shut now.
Okay? Agree, 100%.
So, one of the groups that I posted this to, I get a message from a woman. I won't say her name. No need for that. But it says, no, I don't think so. Many women who have been through things don't talk about them for decades, and the same is true for children. So this comment infuriates me, but it's his opinion. Only he's dictating it, and he wasn't the one who was the victim. Pretty clear where his sympathies may lie, though. So I responded, and I said, what I am clearly saying is that if anyone wants justice for a wrong done to them, they need to pipe up immediately. However, if they wait two or three decades to say anything, then they shouldn't be pissing and moaning about an injustice. Their inaction directly led to the injustice.
I wrote an article when this whole Me Too brouhaha came out. I wrote an article about it, and I got so many thank yous from men and women. If you can keep that inside for decades and go about your life and have children and marriages and whatever, you weren't that traumatized.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, now, this woman has not responded to my response. I don't expect her to. Okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, look. A, how do we know that these people who keep their mouths shut for 10, 20, 30, 35 years, how do we know they were actually victims of anything? We don't. They have no proof. They have no evidence. They have nothing. Okay, so we don't know if they were actually assaulted or whatever the case might be. Okay.
Now this has what to do with my article?
Well, what this has to do with it is the sharing of ideas. Okay. Mm-hmm. She didn't agree with what I said. I didn't agree with what she said, but we both shared our opinion of the topic. And that's what all this COVID thing comes down to. Somebody has an opinion on the topic. They put it up. Facebook takes it down immediately, maybe throws that person into Facebook jail for 30 days, and nobody gets to respond to it.
Well, you notice they haven't been doing that lately. They've been letting us post what we want, but they've been limiting the reach.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we used to reach thousands of people every day. Now we reach tens of people every day.
How about we used to post on over 300 sites our op-eds and commentaries? Now we're lucky if we can post on 30 sites.
That's
because
it.
The Facebook gods, as I call them, with a lowercase g, don't like what we have to say.
They don't like it at all.
But they don't like anything except, you know, liberal butt kissers. So what do you want?
Right. It's their propaganda or nothing.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Folks, the title on this op-ed from Diane is Big Tech, COVID-19, and Truths Kept Hidden. You can find it at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place you go, you grab the link and share the truth. The truth about these big tech companies, the truth about Facebook, what they're doing, and why.
Yes. It affects all of us, guys, especially when they want us to start reporting on our own Facebook friends.
Ain't going to happen.
Not from me, it isn't.
Not going to happen. Folks, that's it for the show tonight. We want to thank you for joining us on the beginning of a long holiday weekend. Happy birthday, America.
Yes.
You know, it's. I hope everybody has fun safely. You know, don't do what they did there in New York the other day when they found a stash of illegal fireworks and they put them in one of those bomb disposal trucks and detonated them, and it detonated the entire truck.
Yes.
Don't do that.
Not smart. Not smart. But it's New York, so what do you expect?
Well, exactly. You know, look, if you got fireworks, be careful. There's a lot of parts of the country that are in a drought, so don't throw them in the dry grass. You know, don't hold them in your hand when they go off. You know, the common sense stuff. Leave that nonsense to liberals.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
those warning labels on them, on the fireworks, those are meant for liberals. Barbecue yourselves silly this weekend, folks, and celebrate our independence. But with that, yes. Diane, I think it's time for you and I to wrap up this show and say goodnight.
Nighty-night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Have a great, long holiday 4th of July weekend, and we'll see you Tuesday.